Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. We have a double program. Yes, Puzim, it's a clean start. No audio issues tonight. It's becoming a rare thing with Odyssey, unfortunately. But I'm happy that it starts on the first attempt tonight. Double program tonight. We have our regular show right now, and then at 9 p.m. Eastern time, we'll have our private hangout. So those of you who want to join the Subscribestar or the Patreon or the Backed By at the $20 level, if you want to support the show on a monthly basis, that is extremely appreciated. And we have our celebration of this every month, and it's tonight. How a dose of MDMA transformed a white supremacist. The leftists are going strong on this whole, modification of the psychological variables. They will be trying to conform society with drugs before they fully do it with genes. And it is absolutely worrying, because we're talking here about, they are getting excited about research that basically would be making you less racist. They want to give you the vaccine against racism, the vaccine against white supremacy, and they're going to make all sorts of story. The problem here is that the psychological things that, MDMA is ecstasy. The psychological variables that you're playing with are in men for a reason. You know, aggressivity is in men for a reason. Everything that is present in men is from an evolutionarily advantageous trend that was presented within the last 100,000 years. And if you start playing with it chemically, the problem is that you are disarming men from useful aspects of these behaviors. Of course, I'm not saying criminality is useful, but we probably have criminality because we have genes for aggression, and these genes for aggression probably are good in certain circumstances. They're not always completely useless to society and yourself. Brandon was once a leader in the U.S. white nationalist movement, but when he took the drug MDMA in a scientific study, it would radically change his extremist beliefs, to the surprise of everyone involved. Rachel Neuer investigates what happened. They were running an experiment on whether the drug MDMA increased the pleasantness of social touch in healthy volunteers. The day was proceeding like any other Tuesday when Mike Bremer, DeWitt's research assistant, appeared at her office door with a concerned look on his face. The latest participant in the double-blind trial, a man named Brandon, had filled out a standard questionnaire at the end. Strangely, at the very bottom of the form, Brandon had written in bold letters, "This experience has helped me sort out a debilitating personal issue. Google my name. I now know what I need to do." Seeing this cryptic message, both Bremer and DeWitt were worried. "We really have to look into this." They Googled Brandon's name, and up popped a disturbing revelation. Until just a couple of months before, Brandon had been the leader of the U.S. Midwest faction of Identity Europa, a notorious white nationalist group rebranded in 2019 as the American Identity Movement. 2 months earlier, activists at Chicago Anti-Fascist Action had exposed Brandon's identity, and he had lost his job. DeWitt was now very worried. She had just given a drug to a disgraced white supremacist, she realized, and had apparently inspired him to do who knows what out in the world. "Go ask him what he means by 'I now know what I need to do,'" she instructed Bremer. "If it's a matter of him picking up an automatic rifle or something, we have to..." "We have to intervene." Oh my God. And and they go to him, and he says, "Love is the most important thing." Nothing matters without love. I don't know what to think about this. It is, I don't even know that this was caused by MDMA. You know, sometimes people in this domain of the far right beliefs, they always have their period where they're like, oh, I regret what I've done in the past and oh, I'd like to change my lifestyle. And it's always very pathetic to me. It's like, weren't you able for your brain to process the set of ideas and whether you adhered to them or not? And what changed in the meantime? Because I see all these betrayers of far-right ideas, and it's like, okay, sometimes I agree that they've been going too far in their stuff. Sometimes I don't think they've been going too far. But it's evident to me that the moment of betrayal, the moment of, oh, I changed, is a moment for gathering more attention, for, you know, it's because they're tired of the social pressure of being the shit of this world, and they want to feel loved. It is not a rational process. So could this guy have been on the threshold of such an experience already, and MDMA could have just given the last kick? I don't know, but I'm not going to necessarily think that there was a causal relationship with MDMA and that we could reproduce this on 100 different people. King Anus says he was fueled by hate, JF. You don't understand. It's like, how could you for years sustain the idea that you were not fueled by hate and now suddenly you fall within the leftist discourse. Oh yeah, love is the most important thing. I don't like these cases of betrayal. They all look to me like feds, basically, like people who are trying to make up a fake story about what they were, to become a new person and get some new attention that they've been thriving for from the beginning. Go away, says my friend who is 100% straight and has a girlfriend, told me in confidence that the only time he ever had a gay thought was when he was on MDMA at a party. He didn't act on it. If MDMA can promote non-reproductive sexual urges, then it is not a medicine. Okay. Blanket says, Jeff, did you hear about this? Shouldn't there be more people to avoid things like this? Iowa, you send me a link, but there's so much publicity on these Epoch Times link. Iowa Supreme Court issues rare 3-3 decision declines to reinstate abortion law. The Iowa Supreme Court in a 3-3 decision declined to reinstate a 6-week ban on abortion that was backed by the state's governor. A 2019 district court nullified the state's previous six-week ban on the procedure, with a Polk County District Court judge ruling that the ban was unconstitutional based on state and federal law. The case was taken up last year after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, ending federal protection of the procedure. So basically, you have the justice system going against what the Supreme Court has clearly told them to do, which is Roe v. Wade doesn't exist. And so they're going to hang on to alternative explanations. They're going to find half a dozen different reasons why abortion should still be legal. But Roe v. Wade has been overturned, and I don't see these things surviving eventually the Supreme Court. So it might be long before we get it to have an effect, but Roe v. Wade is dead, and that's what they should retain. Carlo Maxworth says, with all the ex-Nazi stories, it always turns out they were just gay LARPers with a fetish for dressing up as a Nazi. Yeah, it does make me question when they go on this betrayal route and they get this leftist mainstream coverage for it, and they get these sessions with big black people that hug them. It always makes me think, oh my God, were they ever truly believing in what they were doing? Or are they just like little rats just following the maze of social rewards, and they thought that they would get reward by acting overly Nazi, and now they think that they're going to get rewarded by acting overly gay? It's like, have some masculinity, have some minimal of decency, like stick to some principle, whatever it is. I'm not a Nazi, but it's like, I look at these guys and I'm like, they have zero principle. They will go on any direction according to the flow, just like a woman. New guy says, are you saying it's an ego trip, JF? Yeah. Well, I'm saying, yeah, ego and narcissism. I don't know how I would characterize it, but it's some kind of search for attention and search for social approval. It is not rational thinking. Groundbreaking new neuroscience suggests that MDMA and other psychedelic-assisted therapies return the brain to a childlike state of openness and malleability. Here's my deep dive into this important realm of of research and the brilliant woman behind it. Of course, it's going to be a brilliant woman behind this. You want to get into psychological manipulation. You want to increase malleability. What does that mean? You want to undo the defenses of the regular human cognitive mind, which has evolved to avoid you inserting your toxic ideas into our brain. Holy shit, that is not a direction we should take. But we're going to take it to a certain extent. I suspect that in leftist cities, there will be increasing pressure to do this kind of stuff, especially to white heterosexual males, kind of disarm the white heterosexual male cognition and try to retrain it to the needs of the modern leftist priors. Blanket says, Jeff, from the looks of it, Iowa doesn't seem to be as good a state as South Dakota. Yeah, well, Iowa, I don't think I've ever mentioned it in my list of favored states. I mean, you never know, because the state can be a good place to live while they have a bad Supreme Court, because it does happen that a state Supreme Court has been filled with Democrats, but they are still a very Republican state. So I wouldn't say that it's a sign, but Iowa, the problem is it's in this area of states that are slowly converting Democrat, and I don't know that it is a very solidly Republican for a long time. I would have to do some research, but I don't know about the state. I cannot guarantee that it would be a Republican place for a long time. Please don't take pictures while trying to hold a stingray. So this guy wanted to look like a smart biologist. Hey, look, I caught a stingray. Well, they're called stingray for a reason, unfortunately. California round stingray. Ow! Ah! Ah! You're right. California round stingray. It's amazing how it looks like the stingray just touches him, but somehow the stingray has her pick, her ability to sting, right? There it is. I think we see it basically come out of her. Look at this. This may be the sting with which he gets injected a poison. This is how, by the way, isn't this how the Australian TV animal guy died, just stung by a stingray of some sort? Well. Amazing, because it comes like a sword almost out of the out of the stingray. But it looks like it could be like a double tail, but when you look at it fast, but when you pause it, you realize, oh my God, this may be a very pointy injector of some kind.
Stingray. Ow! Ah! Ah! All right. Ah! Did you bite it? You bite your finger?
No.
Huh? It stung you?
Yeah.
I don't know if what happened after this video, because Steve got it in the heart. It was a large adult. Wow. He got injected straight in the heart by the stingray. Poor Steve Irwin. Too enthusiastic for his own good. To me, it's not a brilliant thing. You have to be careful with nature. You don't want to be enthusiastic to the point of getting stung by a stingray, to the point of losing your life. Careful with nature. And someone sent me a video of this. I think I had seen this in the past. An eagle, or some bird of some kind at least, just crashed into the cockpit. And we don't have the crash itself, but we have the post-crash events. And you can see that the guy who drives the plane is covered in blood. Wow, wow, wow. Careful with the birds. Careful with nature. Nicholas Petris says, anyone here in favor of responsible usage of cannabis and shrooms, or are most here opposed to these kinds of drugs? I am generally opposed. I know that in my crowd, there are people who are consumers of drugs. I don't mind. I don't mind. But I don't think it's good for you. I think that if, as a public person, I was to support drug consumption, I would be directing some guys toward a non-productive lifestyle. Now, if you can handle it and you live well with it and it doesn't disrupt your life, I'm super happy for you. But I think that if 100 guys start taking drugs, I think there are some pathological behaviors that emerge from this. I think you become a little bit deluded, a little bit careless about the rest of your life, and you're not productive under these drugs that modify your behavior. So that's why I am against, but I'd love to hear the crowd on the regular chat. Type 1 if you are against the consumption of drug. Type 2 if you are for the consumption of drugs. Daryl says, I use weed daily. I should probably stop. Yeah, I highly encourage people to stop. I see some ones in the chat. But regular mushroom use, I think, makes you a bit too hippie. Wow. We have a mix of ones and twos. This is what's amazing about this crowd. See, this crowd has been super selected to appreciate my autistic content. And yet, it's like we find of everything. We have here basically 50% of the crowd dislikes drugs. 50% of the crowd is okay with drugs. Chuck Garrity says, it depends, and it's up to the individual to decide. Yeah, well, in general, I recommend against drugs. I have seen drugs completely ruin the personality of people, completely ruin their motivation. I am totally against it. Now, I don't judge people on this, but it's just, I know the scope of things that drug can bring in your life. And if you're a rich person who doesn't need to work for the rest of their life and you just want to chill, then it's not going to matter. But if you need to be productive at something, you're going to be less productive, in my view, with drugs. Based Saxon says, stopped drinking alcohol a long time ago. Spin the Opinion says, I think the drug needs to be matched to the people. Alcohol is an evolutionary mismatch for Native Americans. There may be some ethnicity that mishandles a product because they have not been habituated to it across the generations. I think it's the case for alcohol intolerance in Asians, for example. All right, we have some content that is going viral on Twitter. The Educated Hillbilly made a description of this girl, Molly McGee, and she has now privated her Twitter account, so we don't get to see how she responds. She is now totally isolated in her safe space. But he has been tracing different tweets, and she is a kind of girl. She is a city girl. A city girl who has rejected her own parents. And, you know, who has this vision of, oh, my parents were so backwards. My parents were just a bunch of racists. And so she goes into the city and she gets these new friends. And she makes these new social rewarding contacts. And she learns from this and gets rewarded socially for dismissing where she comes from. And this guy totally just captured her personality in a thread about this kind of woman. So I'm just going to read through the thread. It's absolutely beautiful. She had tweeted, I grew up in the rural South, so I know that men are out here driving massive trucks, wearing cowboy hats, pulling in six figures, talking about working class values. Give me a break, dude. Just call yourself a white supremacist and move on. So somehow, it's a common view in the left that this whole cowboy type of Republican USA type of attitude is kind of a secret dog whistle for I'm just a white supremacist, or they are racist in their heart. But that's their way, basically, of, okay, here's the far right. And if you take the Nashville cowboy type, let's put them in the far right, too. And so everyone becomes far right if they wear jeans and they wear a cowboy hat. Educated Hillbilly said, okay, I'm going to try and provide some insight into this type of person. As I grew up with them, went to college with a few, and dated a few over the years. The I'm better than this place girl. I've seen enough to get a fix on this gal, and I've seen her type a million times, and they're a dime a dozen in the writing world. They almost always go into the arts, never the sciences, because your intelligence can be measured in the sciences. Writing is subjective. Molly here grew up poor. Tennessee, I believe she said. But she mentions poor and the South about a million times. She is making a point here that she has the authority to speak on these topics and tell the liberal New York Writing Society that they're correct to hate rural white poors. She absolutely hates her parents, hates having to grow up in and around all that poor, all that filth, all their ignorance. Imagine knowing you're better than everyone else and having to share a school bus with them, a lunch table, a classroom. The rage builds for 18 years. And here he cites her, stating, my parents are the type of racist who don't think they're racist. All the most sexist, racist, and homophobic people I grew up with are studying to be doctors and lawyers. Someone explained this phenomenon to me. And I looked, because although her account was privated, there were still archives out there of her Twitter account. And I saw a picture where she appears to be kissed by a genderless lesbian. I don't know, is that a family member? Is that a girlfriend to her? Is that her sister? I don't know. I think that this person has made links where she has created a kind of fictitious drama of family rejection, where she sees her parents, they are homophobic, they are racist, they are sexist. And is it related to her lifestyle or the lifestyle of her LGBT friend? I don't know. But it could be. Ilbitty continues, make no mistake, I would bet Molly here has a mildly above average IQ and was probably in an underfunded school system. Most rural schools get the leftovers after the cities take all the money. I would also bet my IQ is much, much higher, and my aptitude testing probably blows hers out of the water. But I digress. She knows better than this filth. She knows she's destined for better things than her ignorant father. And slamming her father and where she's from is her ticket into the world she so desperately wants to be a part of. The world she looks at from behind the glass for so, so long. She wants to be accepted, to be one of them, to be on the other side of the glass looking out, not in. Make no mistakes, she hates her parents and where she grew up, but she can now use them now that she's free. Away from home, in college, with that scholarship she worked so hard for to escape that hellhole. She's among her people now, free of the unwashed. It probably started organically, a comment here, a slam there, and next thing she knows, the cool kids from New York, old money families, are hanging on her every word of hate for her home and father. She's telling them everything they've always believed, and they can't get enough. She entrails them with the tales of her ignorant father. With every telling, her gets slower, more... With every telling, he gets slower, more racist. His house becomes a broken-down mobile home, then a shack. He's probably drooling by her senior year. Every negative feeling and thought she's ever had about where she's from gets her praise from her peers. She's made it. She's arrived. She's accepted. She's one of them. But what happened, you ask? Why is she so angry? And I think this is where he gets at the heart of the matter. Because if you've left a circumstance that you thought was bad, was so bad, and there were these horrible people who happened to be your parents, and now you're living away from them, you should be pretty happy. It seems like you should be celebrating, but you're not. You're still very pissed at them. But what happened, you ask? Why is she so angry and full of rage and hate now? She got what she wanted. She made it. She's in New York, a professor, around her kind all day, a published author. How can someone get their wish at 28 and still be so bitter, hate-filled, and angry? Because once again, she knows she's better than this. An apartment in Flatbush, IKEA bookshelves. She should be buying her kitchen knobs at Restoration Hardware, not fucking Home Depot. My God, the people there are no better than the plebs back home. She gets on social media and sees some of those hicks back home are driving brand new F-150, buying homes, having kids, showing off the new deck they built, and the new kitchen their wife has wanted for years. They're a fucking welder, for the love of God. I teach at Columbia. Her New York friends, at least some of them, had trust funds, came from money, had a grandparent pay their way. But here she is paying back money that if her stupid, ignorant father just hadn't been so stupid and poor, she wouldn't have to be paying these back. Someone wants me to enlarge the text. Sorry, I hadn't realized that for your screen it was too small. As if it was even possible, her hate grows deeper. Her father is responsible for why she isn't as well off as her friends. He didn't give her a trust fund. The stupid, ignorant, blue-collar hicks back home shouldn't be buying homes or be happy. She's 28, deeply in debt and unhappy. Life wasn't supposed to be this way. She did the thing. She followed the playbook. She made it. She arrived. Is this really it? Yes, Molly, it is. There are two big age moments in your life. When you realize you're no longer a kid and your youth is in the past, 28 to 32. And then when you realize you're old and there is more life behind you than in front of you, between 45 and 55. Obviously, the ages vary on the person, but she has hit number one. And instead of reflecting, rebuilding a relationship with her father, re-evaluating her worldview, she went with what she knows, what's never failed her, and doubles down. Yes, it's the ignorant, racist Hicks' fault. They are to blame. They objected to paying off her loans. They object to defunding police departments. They point out the violence at BLM riots. If they would just fall in line, Molly could finally be happy and get what's coming to her, what she's earned, what's right. I'm 49 and at life stage number 2 now, and I see her type from my generation and where they end up. I'd give details, but this is the internet and I don't feel like shaming people I know IRL. But none have ended up where they thought they would. All have regrets. If I could give Molly one piece of advice, you will only have one father. No matter what evils you've lumped onto him, he brought you into the world and unlike many, he stuck around. Some don't have a father to hate. You can still fix this. This doesn't have to end with you bawling over a tombstone, begging, pleading, aching for just 5 minutes to take it all back. I've seen this and you are not prepared for that pain when it comes. Wow, what a beautiful text. About, yes, a problem with this, with the association between the female mind and this kind of fake modernity that people think. People think that all those ideas of the past, they are so discarded. They are so passé. They are so 2004. It's not like this. Your father probably gave you the right kinds of bigotry that could have protected you from being exploited by the New York kind of lifestyle, where you'll get drained forever. You'll never be able to pay your loans. You'll never be able to accumulate property. And now you're 28 and you're just this pathetic writer and dependent on part-time university courses that could be canceled from you at any time. You don't have nothing. You don't have freedom. You don't have reproduction. You don't have anything of the kind of things that you could have had you stayed around your family. And so absolutely great counseling here by Educated Hillbilly. And yes, is it about the respect to the father? Yes, psychologically, respect to the father could be an important component of it. But ultimately, it's also respect of the past, respect of the fact that there are reasons why people have warned you about your lifestyle as... So some may have yelled at you that this was the lifestyle of the devil. Some may have been more polite, and some may have been sharing with you secret bigotries that they hold upon town, city people. But all of them were basically trying to protect you from a very inefficient lifestyle that you've adopted, and you may have benefited from hearing from being the cowboy guy's wife instead. Because you would have a house, you would have babies, and you wouldn't be in this cycle of, oh my God, new generations of children coming into Colombia, paid by big money. The only way a lifestyle is sustainable in these big cities where they drain you for rent is to have so much money that you're capable of getting drained. You can't start from scratch and make a living there that will be sustainable and that will lead you to grow. Blanket says, Jeff, was she saying even if a black person wears a cowboy hat, they're racist? No, I don't think that's what she was saying. I think She held a bigotry around the whole white and cowboy hat combinations. How does this video make you feel, says Yan Maj Chung. Apparently, it's a new yoga session by this LGBT TikToker.
I made up a song for you. Take an inhale. Take an exhale. Take an inhale. Take an exhale. One more time. Take an inhale. Take an exhale.
I don't know if I feel better. That doesn't look like mental health to me. I was looking at his teeth. Is it possible that this whole thing is a plastic display added on in front of his teeth? It's kind of bizarre how the teeth are all almost unnaturally aligned, super white. I don't know. At the same time, there are some black spots here, but perhaps he has a fake teeth on the top and real teeth at the bottom. It seems that there's no correspondence between the dirtiness at the bottom and the kind of plastic almost perfection at the top. The gums, yeah, the gums don't look real. So it looks like it might be just a thick plastic of some kind. Or perhaps some, I don't know, a dentier, as we call it in French.
Take an inhale. Take an exhale.
Well, anyways, I don't want to do this respiration, breathing kind of stuff. I'm okay. Burisma Energy Accountant. Veneers, that's how they're called. Denture. Yeah, denture. Denture is the term. Could be a denture, but I don't know much about the offering of this kind of service. Spindly Opinion says, very thin upper lip, possible fatal alcohol syndrome. Well, it certainly wasn't fatal. You might have meant fetal. Certainly wasn't fatal. The guy is still alive. A Covey Killer Clown says, this man wants something in and out. Okay, making sexual references. Okay. Burisma Energy Accountant, who blew the whistle on Biden bribery scheme, found dead. The chief accountant at Ukraine's Burisma Energy, who offered to provide U.S. authorities with damning evidence regarding financial crimes involving Joe and Hunter Biden, has been found dead before she could testify. Wow, absolute elimination here. The Burisma whistleblower, her own husband had been killed. The Burisma whistleblower, who has been identified as the wife of the former Burisma owner Mykola Lysin, who also died in suspicious circumstances during the years of the Obama administration when Vice President Joe Biden and his son were active in Ukraine. Giuliani discussed the fate of the now deceased whistleblower during an interview on Newsmax Saturday Report with Rita Cosby. Well, isn't it on this particular news item that a couple of days ago there were, I don't know if it was some FBI agent testifying in front of Congress, and they were saying, we can't reveal this document, including the 17 audio recordings, because this would come with the information about the person reporting this stuff, and it may put their safety, it may compromise their safety. Well, now she's dead. So perhaps we could get the recordings. I mean, too bad that she's dead. But it would be good to get the recordings now. It would be good to get what this whole story is about. Go Away says, is this the whistleblower that the FBI said they were protecting with their decision? Yeah, I think it's exactly this. I think it's the same person. Now she's dead, so no more protection needed. Who did it? I don't know. Uber is becoming this massive super intelligence that detects your racism, even if you didn't say anything. Uber now detects if drivers avoid dangerous areas and threatens them with loss of employment and legal action if they continue to do so. That is what happens when a bunch of bureaucrat people in an office control everything about the AI of your companies, and they want to supervise your every decision. Look at what a Uber driver receives. We have detected that you have rejected a disproportionate percentage of trip requests heading to certain neighborhoods. Certain neighborhoods that are largely comprised of low-income residents, minority residents, and/or other residents who may belong to certain disadvantaged communities. As a reminder, rejecting requests solely to avoid particular neighborhoods due to the characteristics of the people or businesses that are located in those areas is prohibited under state law and violates Uber's community guidelines. If we continue to detect similar patterns of trip rejections, your account may be permanently deactivated. There you go. Communism in the driving industry. Basically, you have to take a bullet for the team. You have to have your quota of going into poor neighborhoods, getting potentially killed, getting all sorts of things done to you, and also the risks of not getting tipped or not getting paid at all for your trip. All of these risks are there. You have to take them on your shoulder, or else you will be detected as racist. Absolutely sad. Absolutely sad. DK Shadow says, amazing. Uber drivers aren't employees. They're contractors. But with this, they have the restriction of an employee, but the lack of benefits of a contractor. Uber is, I don't know how it works, how it's possible to have lower fee taxi, because I can understand how the taxi business works. It's because the price is so overpriced that, of course, there's going to be space for it to work. But with Uber and people expecting those trips at super low cost, I don't get how that works. I can't understand. The Uber drivers must be sometimes losing money with their car. DFN says, my bro drove an Uber for about 6 months and I did his taxes. He probably made about $3.25 per hour on average. Wow, that is so sad. Covey Killer Clown sends a super chat. He says, would those neighborhoods have names? Covey Killer Clown, you're going to have to calm down on the edgy super chats. I'm going to ban you if you continue, because it's like I can't read about 70% of your super chats. I'm going to do exactly like Uber. I have detected a pattern, Covey Killer Clown. I have detected a pattern in your behavior. I'm going to ban you forever if you send another one like this. HPV ignites unexpected cancer surge in middle-aged adults. Well, you get what you fucking deserve, in a way. People are living in sexual promiscuity, and they're sucking all these dicks of everyone. And they end up with... We end up having a problem of HPV, so a sexually transmitted disease. But people get it in the throat. They get it in the throat because they've sucked too much dick, or they've eaten too much pussy. A mounting wave of throat and mouth cancer is sending ripples through the medical community. Adults above the age of 45 are at the epicenter of this health alarm, as their vulnerability to the illness is becoming starkly evident. So you end up paying the price late in life, probably for a virus that you've already had. But it's just that the human body, you know, is very efficient at surviving up to the age of reproduction. But then it gets less efficient at fighting disease and surviving. Chandler Holmes says, theoretically, would you procreate with a vaxxed woman, given that unvaxxed women are vanishingly rare? I mean, it's like, my policy has always been reproduce with whoever you can. But if you do have the choice, to me, it's not so much the vax that I'm so worried about. It's the whole politics that come with the vax. The vax, I have my worries, but if the female is alive and standing in front of you, she's probably going to be fertile. And so my policy is don't reject someone for this reason, but if you do have choice, if you have the luxury of choice, certainly an unvaxxed woman would probably have the mental features that you're looking for anyway, sort of resistance to society. Go Away says, JF, can we do a chat survey like we did for drug use, asking who in the chat eats pussy? You can do whatever you want, but I'm not interested. Not interested in this kind of survey. Older adults grappling with oropharyngeal cancer are now being seen as the new face of the HPV epidemic. Current trends paint a sobering picture, with medical experts cautioning that this particular cancer could soon rank among the top three affecting older adults in the United States. So apparently HPV is 100 different related viruses. There are two strands, HPV 16 and HPV 18, that just happen to be the strands that are causing cancer. They cause cancer. It's like the way they inject themselves into the cells and start playing with your genes. They are the ones that are the most likely to initiate a cancer. So it's not all disparate if you end up having these infections, because there's just two of them that are truly the ones that could lead you to have a cancer, and not even all of them who have these trends will end up with a cancer. Blanket says, JF, have you heard of shedding? It's something that can happen if you do it with a jabbed person. No, I've talked about shedding before. It was mostly misinformation. This whole conception that after being vaxxed, you would be spreading the vax in the air or at touch or whatever. There's no evidence of shedding. It's always been pushed by these people who end up having a decredibilizing effect against the anti-vax movement, and I suspect a psyop here. I suspect that this kind of discourse is seeded on the public space to eventually discredit those who adhere to it. So I would be the first to talk to you about it if there were a serious scientific study that shows that shedding is real. That, like, we have a case of someone exhuming the vaccine and someone else catching the vaccine from it. But it's just never happened. There's just no evidence of this. Eva Longoria has been trending on Twitter for her subtle move where it seems that she saved Biden from a potential creepy moment. So Biden, she seems warm, and she does hug Biden in a way in the video. So it's not like Biden raped her or anything. But Biden put his hand in a slightly creepy way beside her boob, And it's like, she knew what she was there for. She has to make sure that Biden doesn't look creepy, that she doesn't end up like one more of these females who were touched creepily by Biden. So she handled it super professionally. I'm wondering if she had courses basically preparing her, because she found the exact ninja technique to neutralize the wrist of Joe Biden and get out of his grasp while walking back and making sure to extend his hands so that they don't touch her boobs. I think it's, yeah, she's been trained, the DK Shadow. I think that it is a ninja move that she pulled. Look at this. We're going to try to play it. So, with the zoom, we see it better. He is placing himself in a position where he can be not said to have grabbed the boobs, but he can be hoping that the physical causality of the universe could lead Eva Longoria to walk in a way that he ends up touching her boobs in a way that is plausibly denied as accidental. So he has his hands around the intersection between her chest and her boob. And look at what she does. She does this kind of ninja trick of wrist control. And she even converts to a hand holding that makes it all look like she didn't make sure that her boobs would not be contacted. She makes it look like, oh yeah, yeah, Joe Biden, I hold your hand because I really love you, Joe. I really love you. Here, I really love you, Joe. It's absolute professional work. I mean, and in all this, she doesn't have a creeped out face. So she is at all time establishing eye contact so that it cannot be argued by any observer that this was a creepy move. This is a female who is totally solidary to the Democrat Party. She's willing to pull her best, the best of herself, into making sure that Joe Biden doesn't look bad. See the transition, absolutely beautiful. Wrist control, extension away from the boob, and release. And a demonstration of partisanship to make sure that she doesn't look like creeped out, or that people don't consider that something bad has happened. That is how it's done, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you save an old creepy man. Kovi Killer Clown sends a super chat. He says, sorry, master, I am a clown. Cut me some slick, thick. Where is the line? I would give her a real hug. Oh yeah, Eva Longoria, whoever that person is, absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I don't know what she does. Is she a singer, a model? Hotep Jesus, YouTube suspended me. We're on Rumble exclusively today. So yes, Hotep Jesus has been constantly exploring edgy subjects. And so I'm not surprised that eventually the censors would get to him. But Rumble seems to be rising as a force. It's good to see Rumble rise. A lot of creators are using Rumbles as an alternative. As an alternative to YouTube. House Oversight Chairman says there is evidence of $20 to $30 million of illegal payments to Biden. Illegal payments made by foreign nationals. We have more bank records coming in, but we're going to exceed 10 million this week. But I think we'll get up to 20, 30 million. He further noted that it is becoming clear that the Bidens potentially engaged in bribery, influence peddling, and money laundering. This is going to be hard for Biden to explain. This is not going to go away. And I think eventually the mainstream media is going to start asking the real questions. Don't hold your breath on this one. I mean, we've been knowing this for how long? I was talking about this 2-3 years ago. The Ukraine-Biden connection has always been supported by undeniable evidence, laptop of Hunter Biden, private messages, big guy references, Biden publicly stating that this is what he's done, that he went to Ukraine and he extorted the prosecutor there. So you have the admission of crimes on record, and what? Sends $404. That is absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for this massive support for the show. He says, Jeff, quick question. If all my ancestors were third cousins, how many different ancestors would I have 30 generations back? If none of my ancestors were the same, the answer is 1,073,741,824. But there weren't that many people in the world back then. I want to get a good ballpark figure. Wait a minute. If all of my ancestors were third cousins, they were third cousins, so they were linked by 1, 2, 3. They were sharing a great-grandmother. Cousins share a grandmother. Second cousin shared a great-grandmother. Third cousin share a great-great-grandmother and a great-great-grandfather. So if all of my ancestors shared a great-great-grandmother, how many different ancestors would I have 30 generations back? If none of my ancestors were the same, the answer is 1 billion. But there weren't that many people in the world back then. I want to get a good ballpark figure. Since this is a very high super chat, I have no choice but to open the woke pad. So, number of ancestors when they are all different. That's 2 to the 2, 2 to the 4, 2 to the n. So 30 generations back, that would be 2 to the 30. And would that be your number? 2 to the 30, what do we have? Yes, 1 billion. Okay, so the number you gave me is 2 exponent 30. Now, you have to integrate to this. Oh man, I've been working on mathematics that is so close to this. But in the prime numbers, in my prime number research, I've converged toward exponentiation of very small, like, 1.1, 1.001, 1.0001. And it looks so much like this. But here's the thing. You have asked me questions like this in the past, and I haven't been successful at fully getting it in a generalized form. But here's how we could approach this. You have, your statement is that third cousins, all of my ancestors were third cousins. So you have two parents, but these parents were somewhat related. They were third cousins. They shared a great-great-grandmother. So each of them, 4 generations back, four generations back, their number of ancestors is not exactly 2 to 4. It's 2 minus something to the 4. And then the next generation, their even their parents were not exactly 2 to the 4. It's 2 minus something to the 4. What would be that something? That something would be the subtraction of genetic relationship that exists between fourth cousins. So we could say, I'm just thinking out loud here. I have no idea how to fully answer your super chat. We could say 2 minus x must arrive to something. It must arrive, and let's say 2 to the 4. 2 times 2, 4 times 2, 8 times 2, 16. This is 16. 2 minus x to the 4 must equal something lower than 16. Which would represent the true numbers of ancestors. And let me reread your super chat here. People want me to zoom. Okay. If all of my ancestors were third cousins, so third cousins, they shared a great-great-grandparent. So if I make the tree of ancestry of third cousins, I have one here, one here. This one had two parents. This one had two parents. These parents each had two parents. So we have 4-4. That's the grandparent generation. So that would be cousin. That would be second degree cousin. And that would be great grand cousin. And great great cousin. So great great grandmother generation, 16 plus 16. So at four generations back, instead of having 16 plus 16, they are third cousins, and so they have 32 minus 1. 32 minus 1 because they share an ancestor at this generation. Now, normally I think that we say that they are third degree cousins because they share actually two ancestors, both the male and the female of that generation. So we would be at 30. So here we can solve this equation by saying it must arrive to 30. And then, well, you can do the nth root of 30 at the fourth degree. Minus 2, we get minus x. If you want x, it's 2 minus the nth root of 30 to at the fourth degree. So I don't know if I can do an nth root online. Let's try to get the number. Root 4, and the number to do is 30. This gives me 2.34. So I get 2 minus 2.34. X equals minus 34. (Clears throat) Now, that's weird. Let's try it online. Let me try to resolve it. 2 minus 0.34 to the 4th. That gives 7.59. What if I do 2 plus 0.34? That gives 29.98. So I don't know. I'm confused. Why is it that making it bigger? Oh, yeah. Bigger leads to bigger result. Okay. So the number of ancestors you have 4 generations back then is 2 minus nth root of 34 to the 4. Now, plus 2 plus nth root. Let's open a new line here. Now, that is 4 generations back. The problem is we need to integrate this response to 30 generations back. 30 generations back. Oops. 30. Oh yeah, this 30 comes from here. So there's 2 30. There's the 30 that is just 32 minus 2. And there's the 30 of your initial question, which is, Jeff, what happens if I extrapolate to 30 generations back? Now, I don't know how we would proceed here. 2 minus? Is it minus or is it plus? I don't know. I don't know. How did we end up with this? We said there were 16 ancestors. That meant 32. We've chopped 2 of them. We said it has to arrive at 30. There had to be 30 ancestors 4 generations back. So let's say I was to try to abstract this 30, divide it by 4. What do we get? We get 30 divided by 4. We get 7.5 steps. So imagine I was to repeat this 7.5 times. We get 2 minus nth root 30 to the 4th degree. Repeat, multiplied by itself 7.5 times. Let me pull up here my... at this point, the nth root of 34 was 0.34. We get plus 0.34 or minus 0.34, I'm not sure. What if I was to try this? 2 plus 0.34 to the 7.5, we get 587. That is a very low number. What if I do the minus? Because I'm not sure if I got it correctly. We get 44. Is it possible that the answer to your question is 587.65? It seems bizarre that this would be comparable somehow to 2 to the 30. It seems weird. But with exponents, you just never know. You just never know that this could be the equivalent of 1 billion people, but they've been compressed just because they had some family relationship between them. I think that 0.34 seems like a very big number. We may have gotten something wrong here. One, two, three, four. There's four generations back. Two. Four. Eight. 16. They are third cousins. Frederick Corvinius says, the question is retarded. All ancestors can't be third cousins. I mean, they can't, but you can say they are on average third cousins, you know. That's their average degree of relationship. White says, JF, should the 16 become a 15? It's entirely possible. But I don't know. If you have one and one person, each of them has two parents each. So it's 2 plus 2. And each of them has four grandparents. And each of them has 8 great-grandparents. So that's 16. And then each of them has 16 great-great. Grandparents. Now, I don't know if the 4 is correct here. Perhaps I've made an error here. 2 to the 4 equals 16. Ah, yeah, there is an inconsistency here. 2 to the 4 equals 16. So maybe I should have add 2 to the 5. Equals 32. 2 minus x to the 5 equals 30. Therefore, nth root of 30 to the 5 minus 2 equals minus x. Okay. Therefore, 2 minus nth root of 35 equals x. Nth root calculator, let's see what would be the adjusted response. The fifth degree root of 30. Ah, that makes so much more sense. Does it? I don't know. The answer would be 1.9743. If I do 2 minus 1.974, oh yeah, that makes beautiful sense. That was the right calculation. Absolutely, I can see it coming. So let me finish this calculation. 2 minus 1.9743 equals 0.0257. That makes so much more sense. So now we have our final equation. The degree of relatedness of the great-great-grandparents in your system is not 2 to the 5. It's 2 minus 0.0257 to the 5 degree. Number of ancestors. Now, what is this computation? 2 minus 0.0257 to the 5. Yeah, exactly. We get to 30. So that's 30 ancestors. Now, let's try to... Because I don't know, do we have to extrapolate it? Do we have to integrate it across each generation, or do we have, or can we do it every 5 generations? But if we were to say there are 30 generations, for each step of 5 generations, there is an average link between the seed generation and the destination, the kind of current descent that is of 2 minus 0.0257 to the 5. 30 divided by 5 equals 6. Therefore,
therefore,
2 minus 0.0257 to the 5. 2 the 6? Is that how it would be? Seems like it makes sense. You have the stepwise is 5 generations. You multiply this 6 times with itself. And what do we have? Let's calculate this to see if it's reasonable. Oh my God. I've attained the limit of the calculator. Let's do it by step. Okay, so the first parenthesis to the 5 gives me 29.996. That's basically 30. And what if I do 30 to the 6? 7290000. 729 million. Sorry, I'm coughing. 729 million would be the answer under the way I calculated it. But I don't think it's the final answer to your question. You know why? Because I think we have only considered every 5 generations, the relationship, when in fact, all of these people all also share their own sets of ancestors that were also third cousins. So I don't think we've properly integrated the calculation here. But that's all I'm going to be able to do for tonight. I have to think through. I think that the problem stems from the 2 to 5 to the 6 here. I don't think it's the proper approach. I think we have to have an approach where we have perhaps partial exponents, fractional exponents. But it's probably getting you closer to have this equation here. We're getting closer to your target. But I don't think it's realistic, because I think it needs much more aggressive consideration of generation by generation. Generation by generation, there is a stacking that would happen to the X term that I don't think is fully captured by this math. But we got to a much smaller number already, so isn't that already somewhat good? I mean, you'd have to think that there's also something to add to X for all of the generations between number one and, you know, for all the generations between this one and this one, each of these people are also third cousins. So you would have to say, well, okay, they are third cousin to a generation that you ultimately referred to here, the 3232 generation. But how does that convert into their degree of relatedness within the 16th generation? It's not going to be minus 2. It's going to be minus 2 minus something smaller than 2. It's going to be 2 divided by... I could be able to get there. It's going to be 2 divided by... four. 2 divided by 4. And then for the next generation, it would be 2 divided by 8. And then for the next generation, it would be 2 divided by 16. I think it's going to be something like this. Now, let's just try it here. Let's just try what this gives us. So instead of having 30, we have 29.125. Now, we have, if we put it in our equation that was here, instead of having 30, we have 29.125. Let's calculate the nth root. All right, nth root calculator online, fifth degree, 29.125. That gives us 1.96. We have 2 minus 1.96269. 2 minus 1.96269. That gives us 2 minus 0.037 3 1. And then if you integrate this over 30 generations, let's see what we get. We're still at a slightly smaller number. 610-311-132. 600 million. We're getting closer. I don't know if that would include all consideration for a proper answer to your question. I'd have to think, are there twisted ways in which people end up being related in a kind of exponential manner? It's probably not the final response. I think we could get smaller than this. But that shows you the technique. I think that with this technique, you might be able to do some thinking on your own. And I might also be able to do some thinking of my own. But that is how I would approach the problem. We have to subtract from the two. We have to subtract the real number of ancestors, and that is kind of an estimate that gets smaller and smaller. The more we can include rational for increasing this number, the more we're going to get close to the true number, which is probably not 600 million. That is also a very big number. But see, we're approaching, and eventually we would find the limit of this whole thing. There's going to be the natural constant E somewhere. It's amazing, this natural E, the Euler number. It's amazing everywhere it appears. It is so beautiful. There's going to be some logs maybe to play with. But this is one of the most fascinating. One of the most fascinating equation structure, this whole idea that one minus a very little thing to the whatever, this is one of the most fundamental, beautiful mathematical equation. Because it gets you at the limit behavior around one. And you know how, if you're above one, you're growing multiplicatively. If I tell you 1.1 times 1.1 times 1.1 times 1.1, that grows. But if I tell you 0.9 times 0.9 times 0.9, it goes low and low and low. And this thing, one minus a very little thing or one plus a very little thing, In these two equations lie the explanation to almost everything. Prime numbers, multiplication, summation, the structure of everything, the sinus, the cosine. This is very, very powerful equation. I cannot stress this enough, how beautiful it is. And that's what we've done. We said, all right, there are two ancestors, but it's not the full story. It's a little less than. And so that is how I would approach the problem. I'm going to have to think more, because not only are you iterating on every generation having less than two real ancestors, but you also have to consider the side relationship where these two fake ancestors that you had that weren't truly two, they also were related to each other in a way that's not truly two. And holy shit, how would I do this? I would have to give it a lot of thought. And white sends $505. Well, that is very appreciated, man. Because you not only do I have fun doing this kind of math, but you know, doing this kind of math also leads a lot of people to leave the show, and we filter out. Silver Spider was saying math is racist. I don't know. I think it's the current philosophy in elementary school and high school that math is racist. But no, I personally really love math. I really love doing this. And thank you so much for the support, white. Well, this will end up our regular show, because I have to go prepare for the Patreon hangout. So if you'd like to participate to the Patreon hangout, the Subscribe Star, or the Backed By hangout, subscribe to any of these platforms at the $20 level, and I'll be posting a link to it. Oh yeah, I had forgotten. White had sent. Okay, this one I had read. Let's make sure that I have read all of the super chats. Dead Star was saying, JF, am I remembering correctly that you once said, after a certain number of generations back, we are actually not related to ancestors, which we are direct descendants of? No, there always has to be a direct line of descent. The only way to be alive is to have parents, and the only way these parents could be alive is to have parents. I'm not sure what you mean. That I once said that after a certain number of generations back, we are actually not related to ancestors, which we are direct descendants of. Not related to ancestors. Not related. Well, we are not related to a lot of things. We are not related. I mean, I'm not sure what that means, Dead Star. Maybe you can give a further explanation in the regular chat. Not sure what you mean. What would that mean? We are not related to... It's certain that we have direct descent lines. Now, these direct descent lines, they are like expanding cones. So there has to be a common ancestor. And then there has to be more and more ancestors. And more ancestors. And then there has to be less and less ancestors. And less ancestors. Until there's just two parents. So the cone of relationship with the past is like an inverted cone like this, and then a upward cone like this. It has to, this is probably what you're referring to. You have to have a direct line of descent, but the number of ancestors has to grow from the one common ancestor. Grow. And then it has to shrink until it reaches only two parents. That is what's so fascinating with life. White sends $11. He says, Jeff, I think you once said it in the way of not having the same DNA. Not having the same DNA. That the only thing that comes to mind is this cone explanation I just gave. I think it may be what he's talking about, but not having the same DNA. There's only one line of DNA that is the only the same. There's only one line of DNA in any line of descent that has not been replicated. That has not been replicated because it's always the new DNA is formed, but this one, there is one line of DNA that probably may have never been copied, may have been the same strand, I guess, for any line of ancestry, I guess, one out of everything that's alive. James says, never heard JF say that before. I would probably hear JF. We are related to rocks due to chemistry of evolution history before that statement. Well, anyways, I don't see any explanation from Dead Star, so I'm going to assume that perhaps he can talk to me about it, about what he truly meant on the next show. And Kovi Killer Clown had said, still here. I'm autistic and like to hear about numbers. Who want to support a clown? Well, I support you as long as you don't crash my chat. And Kovi Killer Clown had also asked, is the nth root like a ginger root? No, the nth root is simply the like the square root, but with a different number than two. So in 30 minutes from now, private Patreon hangout, join me on the Discord, join me through the Patreon. If you have your Patreon link, you'll be able to enter our Discord room and or on Subscribestar or Backed By. Bye-bye, everyone, and I'll see you on the private show.